This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa usalli wa usallimu ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan lil alameen. Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man ihtada bihadihi wa qtada bisunnatihi ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قالوا أئنك لأنت يوسف قال أنا يوسف وهذا أخي قد من الله علينا إنه من يتق ويصبر فإن الله لا يضيع أجر المحسنين قالوا تالله لقد آثرك الله علينا وإن كنا لخاطئين صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, I am overwhelmed and humbled by the warm reception and the amazing hospitality, and surely this speaks volumes about Islamic brotherhood. Last year, practically about the same time, I was in Albania. And we visited a masjid in Al Basan, and it was a small, simple masjid, probably even smaller than this in its size. But I have a distinct recollection that when we arrived there for Jummah Salah, the entire masjid stood up in our reception. And I said in my opening talk, it is common to be excited when you return home. You know, there comes a time where travel becomes a norm, but returning is always exciting. Flying is, okay, part of it, it's a common thing, it's a casual thing. But coming home always has an element of happiness and joy. This is what Allah has made home like. May Allah keep muhabbat in our homes and happiness in our homes. So it is understandable to be excited when you return in home or you reuniting with someone who you haven't seen for many years. When the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam migrated to Medina, and then Sayyidina Ja'far, his cousin, the brother of Ali radiallahu anhu, who had migrated to Abyssinia. And after years from Abyssinia, he came direct to Medina Munawwara. And his return or his coming to Medina coincided with the conquest of Khaybar. وَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا وَمَغَانِمَ كَثِيرَةً يَأْخُذُونَهَا وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. Allah speaks about the conquest of Khaybar. So there was dual excitement because Khaybar came exclusively to those who participated in Hudaybiyah prior to that. And those who did not participate in Hudaybiyah, they had no share in Khaybar. So there was this great excitement in Medina that Khaybar, with all its wealth and its amenities and its economic strength, has fallen to the Muslims. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I don't know. Am I more happy over Khaybar coming to our share or the reunion with my cousin Ja'far? لا أدري بأيهما أشد فرحا بفتح خيبر أم بقدوم جعفر. So it is understandable. But to come to a locality where probably it's your first time or it's after many years and there's no real active bond, it can only be the brotherhood of Islam. It can only be the bond of Islam that creates such an atmosphere of happiness and joy. I remember the late brother Junaid Jamshed, may Allah fill his grave with Noor. Once in Canada, we were sharing platform at a common convention, and we were sharing some time together in the hotel. In fact, we were on a common flight from Dubai onwards. So while he was sitting with me, and we had some casual time together, I asked him, tell me some of your life pre your reformation and your change. And he said, I was once in America in Dallas. He was narrating this personally to me. And then after my show and after my performance, there was a girl who insisted on her father that I want the singer to come home. It was protocol, there was bureaucracy, there was formalities. You needed to speak to the agent and they would tax you a hefty $2,000 just for the celebrity to come home. And he said the money exchanged hands and I obliged and we went home. But there was no feeling, there was no joy, there was no happiness. It was cold, it was withdrawn. For her, it was a feather in her cap that the singer came home. Amongst her peers, she enjoyed recognition that her father's got it all covered. And then he said, Allah gave me hidayat and guidance. and I would perform a simple or a common naat in a masjid to an audience of 50 people, but the satisfaction that it gives me is beyond description. The satisfaction that it gives me is beyond description. And really speaking, the bond of Islam, Allah speaks about the occupants of hell, and this is just a preamble, because I just thought I would start my talk with this year, given the warm reception and the, you know, excitement in the community. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَنُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلِّ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهِمُ الْأَنْهَارِ. That when the dwellers of Jannah will enter Jannah, may Allah make us amongst them, Allah says, I will flush out from their chests and their bosoms all forms of rancor, dislike, antagonism, hatred, and malice and discord that existed between each other. As a result of flushing this out of them, ikhwanan, they will instantly become brothers. And hence I often say that when rancor and jealousy is flushed out of the body, then strangers become brothers. And when antagonism and discord remains within us, then brothers become strangers. And also I think it would be most opportune that I share a few words on the young boy who opened today's proceedings with a recitation of the Quran. This is a big eye-opener for us, as our Honorable MC alluded, that the boy is a young boy 13 months into the fold of Islam. That just gives us a shiver in our back that none of us have a monopoly over this deen. None of us are anchored in this deen. وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ. And if you turn your back, Allah says, I will replace you by many people. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was sitting, and this verse was revealed. And then he pointed to Salman radiyallahu anhu. And Salman was of Persian origin. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَوْ كَانَ الدِّينُ بِالثُّرَيَّ لَنَا لَهُ رِجَالٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ فَارِسٍ. That if Islam and faith and deen was so high and inaccessible that it was elevated to the skies and it was like a star, which is not easy to access, people like this here, meaning from the descendants of Salman radiallahu anhu, they would reach out to Islam even at such remote locations. Allah speaks about the incident of the magicians in the time of Musa alayhi salam. And this just reminds us, my brothers, that we cannot look at anyone with a condescending eye. We cannot look at anyone. The world in which we live, everybody is going through turbulence. The other day, I was at a shop buying my license disc, and it's not the best of buys because, you know, they call it a grudge deal. Like somebody said, he's got a fuel station and a petrol station. So I told him, I said, brother, you know what, mashallah, he's a good friend of mine. I said, you need to do away with the music. He says, no, I agree with you. But in terms of business, ethics and dealings, they call this a grudge deal. So I said, simplify this. He said, no, they believe, or this is the thinking behind it, that you don't stop at a fuel station willingly. Reluctantly, you stop. It's like a heavy-hearted, oh, the stick is right down, unless you call E to mean enough and F to mean finish. So you need to like kind of lighten up the atmosphere and create a sense of excitement in the person. Anyway, we got there. This particular person does a license disc and he also does qabr boards. So this is part of his trade. So I met a brother there and I greeted him, Salaamu Alaikum, Alaikum Salaam. But I found him to be a bit withdrawn. I didn't find him to be so bubbly and so exciting. I didn't make much of it. And then I did what I needed to do. Then another brother came up and greeted him. And again, I noticed the man was a bit withdrawn and not of his nature. And then he just broke down. He said, brother, just pray for me. Yesterday, I buried my 18-year-old daughter. Oh, it gave me a shiver in my back. I said, I'm looking at the man and I'm saying he's not so bright and he's not so bubbly. And why is he so pulled up? Only to know that yesterday the man buried his 18-year-old daughter. We don't know what each man's chest is carrying. And we've never been in the foot or the shoes of others. If there's one loud lesson I have learned in all my years of traveling, and this message continues to come out loud to me, don't ever judge any person. The magicians come out to challenge Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. أَقْبَلُوا بِخُيَلَائِهِمْ وَفَخْرِهِمْ الْيَوْمَ يَرَى الْمَلِكُ صَنِيعَنَا الْيَوْمَ يَرَى الْقَوْمُ فَضْلَنَا. They come out in their numbers. The narration suggests from 900 to tens of thousands. When Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam tells them, drop whatever you have, and they drop. فَأَلْقَوْ حِبَالَهُمْ وَعِصِيَّهُمْ وَقَالُوا بِعِزَّةِ فِرْعَوْنَ. And just to thrill Fir'aun and to excite Fir'aun, they drop their staff and they drop their robes, and they say, in the honor and the glory of Pharaoh, we will be dominant. And they said, وَقَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْيَوْمَ مَنِ اسْتَعْلَى. Whoever is successful today is indeed blessed. Whoever wins is honored. And that was true. They said it implying that victory was theirs, only to realize in the end that they were defeated and victory was for Musa alayhi salam. But to expedite things, Musa alayhi salam momentarily feels a sense of nervousness. فَأَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِيفَةَ مُوسَى. And why did he feel the sense of nervousness? A Nabi's faith on Allah is unshakable, unmovable. But Musa alayhi salam thought for himself that when I'm going to drop my staff, it's also going to be into a serpent. It's going to do very similar things which they did. And the nature of their magic or their witchcraft, the Quran says, was saharu a'yun an-nas. And these are different types of magic. And one of it is where you cast a spell on the vision of people. So the reality remains the same. The stick is a stick, the staff is a staff, but you play with the eyes of people, you play with the vision of people, you tamper with the sight of people. It appears to them, as the Quran said, يُخَيَّلُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ سِحْرِهِمْ أَنَّهَا تَسْعَى. That due to the nature of their magic, and the Quran acknowledges, وَجَاءُوا بِسِحْرٍ عَظِيمٍ. In terms of magic, they displayed amazing magic. وَاسْتَرْهَبُوهُمْ. They struck terror in the hearts of people. They dropped the staff, thousands and thousands of serpents moving around, people in absolute panic. Allah told Musa alayhi salam, لا تخف, don't fear. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْأَعْلَى. You will reign sovereign. You will reign dominant over them. Drop what's in your hand. أَلْقِي. Here again the Mufassirin says that Allah said, whatever is in your hand, just drop it and see what happens. And when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam drops it, and they realize that this is not witchcraft, and the Quran says it's so amazing. May Allah bless us with the ecstasy of worship. We have many other ecstasies, many other excitements where we jump with joy. There is also a joy in the pleasure of Allah. We have tasted the fake pleasure of roaming our gazes. May Allah expose us to the pure pleasure of restraining our gaze. We have tasted the fake pleasure of hoarding our wealth. May Allah introduce us to the wholesome pleasure of spending our wealth. We have tasted the fake pleasure of staying awake in the night, playing cards, watching movies, seeing perusing porn, and doing the rest of it. May Allah introduce us to the wholesome pleasure of conversing with Allah. There is also a different pleasure in that. وَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سَاجِدِينَ. Allah says, when Sayyidina Musa dropped his staff and it swallowed everything, the magicians did not fall into sajda. Allah didn't use the word fall. Allah said they were dropped. They were dropped. Meaning, given the miraculous nature of the miracle of Musa alayhi salam, they had no choice but to drop down and say, this is the absolute being and this is the absolute Allah. Amanna bi Rabbil Alameen. And I was speaking about this young boy, that how Allah changed his destiny. In 13 months, today the boy is sitting in front of us and reading Quran. Recently, last year somewhere, I had a program in one of the informal settlements. And it was a Saturday night. It was in a very simple structure. A tent was erected. Basic lighting was put up, which is the norm there. but we got exposure to it because the program was there. And I didn't make much of my audience, gave my humble talk, and then there were some meals arranged. There was a lovely atmosphere. I returned home the next day. The imam who hosted me dropped me a message. He said, Sheikh, there was a brother from the informal settlement who owns 3 casinos in a Shebeen, and he attended the program. He was so moved, he accepted the deen and he shut all his casinos. I said, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. This is when a person, the Quran says, there are 2 systems of Allah giving guidance. Allahu yajtabi ilayhi man yasha wa yahdi ilayhi man yunib. One is the prerogative of Allah and one is the justice of Allah. The prerogative of Allah is he can guide whomsoever he wishes. I've met many people in my travels who just felt the instinct and the inclination without meeting with anyone. There was just a dream and a vision and an inclination, and Allah guided them. So Allah says, one is the person I select. That is my prerogative. That is my choice. And my justice is that whoever desires it, I never deny it. Whoever desires it, earnestly, honestly. But you've got to be sincere. In the opening verses of the 21st juz, Allah says, "Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar." Verily, prayer will stop you from immorality. Prayer will prevent you from immorality and sin. In the footnotes of this ayah is written, many can argue I'm performing prayer for so many years, but I still do my evil. And the answer given is given very beautifully. Are you taking the medication as prescribed by Allah or not? What tablets you taking? Okay, what's your dosage? How many times a day? Well, that's the problem. You know, you don't ever take it with caffeine. You don't take it before having tea or after tea. So you're not taking it in the correct dosage, in the correct quantity, at the correct time. You're not going to see the desired results. So what happened to these magicians? They came in the morning, and these are the words of Ibn Kathir. In the morning, they were disbelievers. They were opponents to the Prophet, and they were magicians. And in the evening of that same day, they were believers, they were sahaba, and they were martyrs. So really, my brother, may Allah take the young boy from strength to strength. And our other little lad, mashallah, who came, so sweet. You know, like one scholar said it so beautifully, when children are small, they're so sweet, you say, I feel like eating them up. And then when they grow up, you say, why I didn't eat them up? Because now that same child who was so sweet and adorable, tragically he evolves into a monster. He was so sweet, he was so loving, he was so obliging, he was so, he had this amazing soft demeanor. And then tragically he succumbs to the provocations of society, arrogance in his attitude, pride in his speech, haughtiness in his language. The hadith of Bukhari, Nabi alayhi salam says, a young man was walking, clad in a beautiful garb, tu'jibuhu nafsuhu, impressed by his attire. And then Allah just told the earth to swallow him, and the earth caved and swallowed him, and he was wiped out. And it made no difference to the earth. The earth will, alam naj'alil arda kifata ahya'an wa amwata. Have you not reflected over the earth how amazing it is? Allah says in Surah Mursalat that its belly houses your deceased and its back accommodates your living. Can you have a room? No, this is the sitting room, that's a living room, that's a dead room. I know of a brother who's got a house adjacent to the cemetery. He says, I got it for a song. Why? Nobody wants to buy it. He says, I bought it because I'm not going to die earlier. I'll die on my time. And it will be just easy. I don't need a hearse. They can just take me and drop me off. He said, but nobody wants to buy the house. Why? It's adjacent to the cemetery. For a child to come up, even to mumble something, it's a miracle. And then to him, the glory of Allah is a miracle of a much greater magnitude. If a child comes up and he masters the courage just to come and say anything, even if it doesn't make sense, is amazing. The child in the cradle, the toddler in the crib that defended the honor of Yusuf alayhi salam and exonerated Yusuf alayhi salam, the Quran says, وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا إن كان قميصه قد من قبل. That when we do zina, apart from Allah watching, Allah has also humans that are watching. The creation of Allah is also watching. One of my scholars used to mention this often, and it strikes a chord with me, and I share it often. He says, everybody is observing your shenanigans and your arrogance. Some are silent out of desperation, and others are silent out of dignity. But everybody knows what you're up to. So when you're doing your nonsense, some are, okay, no, that's his life, this is my life, why must I get in his space? And others are, well, I don't want to open my mouth, it might implicate my job, it might implicate my nephew is married in the family, and then it can get sour and ugly, so you know, we just keep it to ourselves. May Allah guide us, may Allah protect us. May these young boys go from strength to strength, and may they ignite within our youth the spark and the spirit to also study deen and have a share in deen. This is something that we ought to envy, and we need to look with the eye of envy. The focus of what I had intended to speak on today, and that is, what is the secret? What is the secret and the formula to the success of great individuals? One of the most common questions asked to legendary personalities, be it materially, academically, spiritually, is what is the secret to your success? You ask a famous person, you say, oh, well, you know what? I've been asked this question 1,000 times. That would be the most commonly asked question to any man right up on the top. And amazingly, more than often, when we really microscopically look at their lives, then you will be pleasantly surprised the secret to their success is something rather simple and easy, but it just needed commitment and diligence. They say he's a genius. What is a genius? It's 1% inspiration, 99% perspiration. 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. Somebody asked Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, the great intellectual giant, whom Allah had endowed, favored, and blessed with so much knowledge. O Abu Hanifa, kayfa balaghta ma balaghta? How did you achieve what you achieved? His jurisprudence has been compiled. He was a successful entrepreneur. He had completed the Quran in his life close to 6,000 times. He was privileged with seeing Allah in a dream on multiple occasions. He met many Sahaba, and the accolades of Imam Abu Hanifa can continue. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, a man of great fiqh himself, says, لَقَدْ زَانَ الْبِلَادَ وَمَنْ عَلَيْهَا إِمَامُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ أَبُو حَنِيفَةٍ بِأَحْكَامٍ وَآثَارٍ وَفِقْهٍ كَآيَاتِ الزَّبُورِ فِي الصَّحِيفَةِ فَمَا بِالْمَشْرِقَيْنِ لَهُ نَظِيرٌ وَلَا بِالْمَغْرِبَيْنِ وَلَا بِكُوفَةٍ فَرَحْمَةُ رَبِّنَا أَبَدًا عَلَيْهِ مَدَى الْأَيَّامِ مَا قُرِئَتْ صَحِيفَةٌ لَقَدْ زَانَ الْبِلَادُ. Indeed, the likes of Abu Hanifa has decorated the land of Allah. They've adorned the land of Allah. People like this bring pleasure and they bring beauty to the land of Allah. لَقَدْ زَانَ الْبِلَادَ وَمَنْ عَلَيْهَا إِمَامُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Look at the nature of these great jurists. They were so bold in complimenting their contemporaries. They were so bold in recognizing the greatness of people of a common field. Today, no, we're rivals. We cannot share a meal together, or we cannot have an innocent or a sincere smile together. Why? We're in a common trade. We're in a common business. We're in a common field. Both were intellectual giants, and both were deeply engrossed and immersed in Islamic jurisprudence. But subhanallah, the openness of their hearts, that indeed Imam Abu Hanifa is so amazing, he's decorated the earth with his rulings of fiqh. فَمَا بِالْمَشْرِقَيْنِ لَهُ نَظِيرٌ وَلَا بِالْمَغْرِبَيْنِ. I toured the east and the west to see if I could find a replica of Abu Hanifa. But I've realized only one woman gave birth to him, and the mole was then taken away. Then I went back to Kufa. I said, probably Kufa can give you more Abu Hanifas. I realized even Kufa is gone dry and barren. فَرَحْمَةُ رَبِّنَا أَبَدًا عَلَيْهِ. May the mercy of Allah descend upon him perpetually. So someone asked Abu Hanifa, what is the secret of your greatness? We all wish,
I love that man. I admire that man. I envy that man. Oh, that's my hero. That's my hero. That's the man I really worship. And provided we have the right values in place and we idolize in the correct individuals. We idolize in the correct individuals. Otherwise, my brother, you read the private life of many of these celebrities and it galls me. It kills me. By Allah, it kills me. When I see a man come into the masjid with a t-shirt on which it's boldly printed the name of some of these stars or celebrities, which in reality, like someone said, is not a star, but is a disaster. If you go into his private life, the stench that it will give off, the foul smell that it will give off, it is beyond your comprehension to imagine a human can perform such evil things. And it's there, it's documented and it's recorded. So Abu Hanifa gave this formula, and that's my message. And you know, we could just build on that. He said, مَا بَخِلْتُ بِالْإِفَادَ وَلَسْتَنْكَفْتُ عَنِ الْإِسْتِفَادَ مَا بَخِلْتُ بِالْإِفَادَةِ وَلَسْتَنْكَفْتُ عَنِ الْإِسْتِفَادَ I was never proud to share the knowledge Allah gave me, and I was never shy to learn from others what Allah gave them. Whatever Allah gave me, if anybody came, my brother, sit down. It's the deen of Allah. I have no monopoly. I'll share it with you. I will convey it to you. Whatever length I can go in conveying, I never kept my fist tight on what I had. Our deen is a deen of a selfless nature. Go out. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَثَلُ مَا بَعَثَنِي اللَّهُ The example of the knowledge that Allah has given me is like rain. The ulama say, Nabi alayhi salam likened his knowledge to rain and not a well. In a well, thirsty people come to it, but a rain goes to thirsty people. The cloud travels to the thirsty people, travels to those that are desperate of water. So I was never proud. I did never withhold. Whatever Allah gave me, come, let me share it with you. وَلَسْتَنْكَفْتُ عَنِ الْإِسْتِفَادَ And I was never shy to learn from anyone. In English, they say, every person you meet in life knows at least one thing you don't know. Be sure not to leave him till you don't learn it from him. And yet someone said, if you know how to listen, you'll profit from people who even talk badly. If you know how to listen, just you have the art of listening, just the art and the ability, you know, listen with the intention of listening and not with the intention of judging. If you have the art of listening, you will profit, you will benefit even from people who talk badly, because that's what I must avoid. Sayyidina Luqman, academically they argue and debate whether he was a prophet or not. But suffice to say in his honor that Allah recognized his wisdom. You know, you say this man's words were retweeted. So many people liked it. Allah liked his advice and captured it in the Quran. To coin that phrase in social media. No, it was retweeted. It was liked. Allah liked his advice. And what more do you need if Allah likes your advice? If Allah pays tribute to your advice. And what did Allah say? Allah dedicated a chapter to Luqman. It's mentioned in Ibn Kathir. People were sitting around him, they had converged, great luminaries, and drawing from his wisdom. So someone came close to him and nudged him. And he said, أَلَسْتَ الَّذِي كُنْتَ تَرْعَ الْغَنَمْ But hang on, Luqman, aren't you the very gentleman who was a shepherd who used to take the flock? We were together, man. I was a shepherd, you were a shepherd, I'm still a shepherd. What happened to you? How did you climb the ladder? And how did you reach where you are? What did I say? The most commonly question that would be asked to any legendary individual is the secret. And really, if we want to learn, you will realize it's simple things, but we need to be diligent about it. He said two things. بِصِدْقِ الْحَدِيثِ وَالصَّمْتُ عَمَّا لَا يَعْنِينِ I only spoke the truth, and I never concerned myself in matters that were not related to me. I never concerned myself. صِدْقِ الْحَدِيثِ Just spoke the truth. There's an amazing incident mentioned in Madarik al-Tanzil in the 28 Juz in Surah Mujadala. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu used to say, I'm the only individual in this entire ummah who practice on this ayah. Because the verse was revealed in which there were some elements of hypocrites that used to come and gather around Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they used to sit there with ulterior motives. So they used to come and sit there and then they used to try and impress their love that they have for Nabi alayhi wasallam. But they were fake. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala imposed upon anyone who wants to come close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, give some charity and then come. Now because you're not genuine, then you say, okay, no, I'll come later. We'll make it for the next program. So Allah said, if you come to the gathering of Nabi alayhi salam, you must give some charity. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, idha najaytumur rasoola, faqaddimu bayna yaday najwaakum sadaqa. Oh, you who believe, if you want to converse with the Nabi of Allah, then give some charity. The verse was revealed, I had a dinar in my hand, I made some change, I gave some charity and I came straight into the company of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. I obliged with the injunction and I came and then I had a discussion with Nabi alayhi salam. 10 things he asked Nabi alayhi salam is very detailed. Out of the 2 things, just one advice. He asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Mada asna'u li najati nafsi? O Nabi of Allah, in a nutshell, what can I do to save my soul? Once a brother did me a favor, so I asked him, what do I owe you? What's the remuneration? He says, no, just make a simple dua for me. I said, what's it? Just make dua I can control my nafs. I said, simple. Simple, my brother. That's a big ask. Your nafs. The ulama say the nafs is so wicked that when you and I succumb to our wrong, what we say, no, it wasn't me, man. Shaitan got me. Right? That's the lame excuse and the quick excuse. And there's an explanation to it as well. The question is then posed when the devil was asked, and at that time he wasn't the devil, he was asked to prostrate to Adam, which he declined. Who got him? Simple question. Whenever we do any wrong, وَمَا أَنْسَانِيهُ إِلَّا الشَّيْطَانِ وَمَا أَنْسَانِيهُ إِلَّا الشَّيْطَانُ أَنْ أَذْكُرَ فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّ. That whenever we slip up, we squarely put the blame on the devil. And there can be no doubt that the devil has a share in the wrong that we perpetrate. The ulama answer and respond that it was nothing other than the ego of the devil that denied him to bow and prostrate, which made him the devil. So in that sense, the ego is so evil. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what can I do to rescue myself? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said 2 things. قُلْ صِدْقًا وَكُلْ حَلَالًا. O Ali, whatever happens, speak the truth. And whatever happens, only let halal enter your belly. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas said, it's mentioned in Kasbul Halal in Tanbihul Ghafilin, Kasbul Halal ashaddu min naqlil jabal. Ask me to transfer a mountain, I'll do that for you. But to limit and restrict and to make sure that my earnings are absolutely pure, wholesome and halal, they're not tainted, they're not diluted, they're not contaminated, they're not polluted, they haven't been soiled in any way, is more daunting than moving a mountain from one place to another. Why? Because there's so many temptations. There's so many temptations to push this in the market, to speak a lie, to distort, to go through the black market, to be, dealing in things that are incorrect. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, do 2 things. 2 things, and that will give you salvation. The verses I recited, my brother, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's brothers plot against him. And they say, this youngster, our dad is too close. We need to wipe him off the radar. Wipe him off. That, you know what? No navigation device can pick him up. Clear him out of the equation. So, يَخْلُ لَكُمْ وَجْهُ أَبِيكُمْ. Then you know your dad will only love you and that's it. And they plot and they connive and they have all these thoughts and they come to a well and they drop him. I don't want to go through the whole detail of it. And they drop him and they say, okay, we've ended his chapter. The story is over. Few days later, one of the brothers used to just come and keep tabs on him to see if he's still there, is he breathing or not. But just for the sake that the more distant he is, the better. So a group passes by. وَجَاءَتْ سَيَّارَةٌ فَأَرْسَلُوا وَارِدَهُمْ فَأَدْلَى دَلْوَى. And they drop their bucket, and the little boy clutches on, and he holds on. And this is some hope for him. And who's done this to him? His own blood. And he holds on to the bucket, and they pull the bucket up, and out he comes. And they like amazed, because this is a beautiful child. He's a child is sweet, and Yusuf alayhi salam was so handsome that Nabi alayhi salam said, Allah has distributed half of beauty to the entire world, and the other half exclusively Allah gave it to Yusuf alayhi salam. So every beautiful man, and every gorgeous woman, and every attractive individual person, and every handsome looking, and every adorable child has a fraction of the half that was distributed to the entire world. And the other half was exclusively given to Yusuf alayhi salam. You cannot possibly comprehend the beauty that Allah had given to Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. It was beyond description, and the Quran speaks about it, etc. So they are pleasantly surprised. One of the brothers come, no, that's our slave and he's eloped. Okay, they exchange some money. وَكَانُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الزَّهِدِينَ. And they really wanted to get rid of him. Yeah, you can take it. They take 20 dirhams, as the narration suggests, and then they distribute it amongst the brothers, and that's about it. He's taken, and as far as the brothers are gone, the tale is over. But life continues to shape up. Life continues to improve. Every forthcoming day is a brighter future in the life of Yusuf alayhi salam. And Allah brings that day, and that's the point I want to draw your focus to. Allah brings that day that the very Yusuf, who was dropped into the well by his fellow siblings, this Yusuf has now evolved into a Nabi, and he is the ruler of the state, and he's sitting on the throne, and the brothers line up with their begging bowls due to a crisis that has gripped the land of Egypt. There's absolute famine, there's absolute desperation, and the brothers walk in, and after much discussions, there is a strong indication and a loud sense that the king and the ruler and the man in state is their brother themselves, and he's not an unknown entity. So I'm drawing you to that point. So they sit up, and they close up, and then they master the courage. قَالُوا أَإِنَّكَ لَأَنْتَ يُوسُفْ. Actually, the ayah before, so you can give you a little better understanding. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam engages these strangers in inverted commas. To them, we don't know who this man is. Yusuf's chapter is over. We're done with him. We're done. We've closed the chapter. But those who persist, they shine. Those who comply, only time decides and proves their amazing abilities. So Yusuf alayhi salam quizzes them. Hal fa'altum, hal alimtum ma fa'altum bi Yusuf. Listen, you folks, I want to ask you a question, and I'm going to be crude and I'm going to be upfront. I'm paraphrasing here. Any clue what you people did with Yusuf? There's pin drop silence. Because nobody knows the atrocities that was perpetrated against our brother other than him himself. Now they look close and they look at the dials and they realize the genes are the same. And then with a crack in the voice, إِنَّكَ لَأَنْتَ يُوسُفْ. Your Majesty, Your Excellency, King, are we talking to our brother himself? Is this Yusuf? And Yusuf alayhi salam modestly says, أَنَا يُوسُفُ وَهَذَا أَخِي. Yes, I am Yusuf. I am Yusuf. And that's exactly what I was saying. When they see this, they cannot believe their eyes. They cannot believe their eyes. It's too good to be true. Well, according to us, we've ended your life. We've terminated your growth. We literally buried you physically, metaphorically on all fronts. And when did this happen? And how did this happen? And why did this happen? Share the secret. How did Allah give you this? And Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and that's a Nabi. A Nabi, regardless of his challenge, despondency never overwhelms him. And regardless of his glory, pride never grips him. That's a Nabi. He could be sitting right on top. Right. Nabi alayhi salam will be given on the day of Qiyamah Maqam Mahmud in Fath al-Bari, I read the narration, the write-up, that Nabi alayhi salam will make shafa'at for 10 categories. عَسَىٰ أَيَّبَعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا. Allah will elevate you to Mahmud. Mahmud means a praised location. That on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will elevate Nabi alayhi salam to such a lofty rank that leave the creation, even Allah will praise him. Leave the creation. Creation can praise. You know, one of the best poems I've read in the honor of Nabi alayhi salam, where the poet compiles this long, amazing couplets. And the highlight of the couplets is the final stanza. He says, I haven't praised Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through my poem, but honestly, my poem has been praised through his name. Ma im madahtu Muhammadan bi maqalati, walakin madahtu maqalati bi Muhammadi. So here Yusuf is sitting on the throne. Here things have turned drastically for the brothers. They're down and out. They're on the ground. They're battered and bruised. They're maimed and injured. They're paralyzed. They're incapacitated. They have their begging bowls. And the man who they drop in the well is sitting on the throne. Their eyes cannot believe. Innaka la anta Yusuf. Hello, are you the man Yusuf? Yes, with tears in his eyes. Ana Yusuf wa hadha akhi. قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. Yes, 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 my brothers, you talking to your own blood brother. Okay, then how did this happen? Share the secret. What did I say? It's much easier than we think, provided we apply ourselves. Two things, my brothers, that's the secret. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِ وَيَصْبِرْ. Allahu Akbar. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِ وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. If you can do, and look at the modesty of a Nabi. He didn't say, I did two things. He said, if anybody can do two things, Allah will give him this honor. Not I did it. Look at the beauty we learn from every utterance of a Nabi. Allah doesn't like, my brother, if there's something Allah despises, is where when we attribute greatness to ourselves. I promise you, study Quran and Sunnah, and you will realize how much Allah despises when you say, I'm skilled, and I know it, and I'm competent, and I'm experienced. This is something Allah despises. Sayyidina Musa was asked in a public gathering, oh Musa, who's the most learned? I'm the most learned. The narrations are authentic and Allah speaks about it in the Quran. The incident that followed thereon, Ana. And the scholars say the academic response of Musa alayhi salam was correct, because a Nabi is the most learned of the nation. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted him to attribute knowledge to Allah. And Allah said, go to the junction of the two oceans. And there's a gentleman there. His bosom imbibes a science that you're not familiar with the name of the science, with the elementary aspects of the science, leave alone the details. There's a man who's got a knowledge, you don't even know this knowledge exists. You don't even know this knowledge exists. And that is what we refer to ilm takwini. So you have ilm tashri', and those are the rules pertaining to Quran and Hadith, lawful, unlawful, permissible, impermissible. And then you have the likes of Khadir, who has been tasked by Allah with the secrets of the creation. This man's death, that one's life, his prosperity, his collapse, his ascension, his drop, growth, business, all these things. The wisdom of Allah in his decisions. So what did Sayyidina Yusuf say? إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ. Anybody who can have two things. Now, a cursory glance, and I want to drive this point a bit more, to remind myself, my brother, not to impress on you so much, but to impress on myself. If you and I can take these two qualities to heart, then I promise you, you will be surprised what Allah will keep for you in stock in this world and in Akhirah. Two things. Study the entire life of Yusuf. It's riddled with tests and challenges. So when it comes to tests, it's perseverance. When it comes to temptations, it is piety. When his time with his father was very short and brief. He barely spent 8 years, 9 years. And thereafter he leaves the lap of his dad only to return when his dad has lost his vision. One narration, 80 years later. I remember when I was a kid, I read a newspaper article, twins meet after 32 years. And, you know, you take different parts in life and one goes this way and one goes that way. And that's life, and that's life. It just moves. You don't know what destiny has ahead of you. Someone's sustenance takes him in a direction. Someone's job, someone's marriage takes him. Someone's crisis. Sometimes I met a person in Australia who's from Africa. And Allah had tested him with a child who was physically challenged. And none of the local clinics or none of the local institutions could provide the necessary care for this child. And the only clinic that was offering nursing and therapy for this child was somewhere in Queensland. And he had to relocate, and that was a compelling choice he had to make in the interest of his child. And I met him at the grave of his child. We went to visit went to pay our respects, and that's where we met him. And he said, we relocated purely for this child because this is where therapy was available for him. But fate had it that we came here, spent a few years, and Allah called him back. So that's life. That's life. We have no clue what it holds for us. But study the life of Yusuf alayhi salam. He's separated from his father at that young age. And there he's out in the cruel world. And cruel that when his brothers took him in front of the father, they embrace him and hug him. And as soon as the father could not see, they drop him. And they start kicking him. It's like, but you are my brothers. You gave my dad the world. He says, yeah, you can call on your 11 stars. Ask them to help you. Great dreams, great visions. And he perseveres. And he's dropped into the well and he perseveres. And he falls into the lap of some strangers and he perseveres. And we say sabr has a limit. Wallah, sabr has no limit. We've created limits. Sabr has no limit. According to us, money has no limit. You just go on and on. There's no limit to it. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجَرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. If there is an act for which there is infinite reward, limitless rewards. Nabi alayhi salam says, when Allah snatches the vision of a person. Last week, 2 weeks ago, I was in Bulawayo. And then while we were having meals, in the night they arranged some, light bites and snacks. So the entire community came. So this one doctor was there, and then, we're talking on different things. He said the local doctors did some eye treatment and, helping the people, the underprivileged, the physically challenged, those who don't have amenities and wealth. So they did some eye operations and procedures in some of the informal settlements. So the one brother there was a very amazing person, and he really took a liking to me. He said, Sheikh, I tell you, if I've cried in my life for 50 years, that was the day I cried the most. So I asked him why. He said, you have this old gogo, the old granny. And she's living with all the grandchildren for 18 years. And she knows them by voice and sound. And now the procedure is done and Allah restores the sight. And now she's matching voice with sight. And she says, it's like, okay, I was calling on this son for 10 years. And that grandchild, but I had no clue how they looked. And as her vision was restored, she's now seeing the child and matching the child with the voice. He said, I sobbed for 3 days in my life. For 3 days. I often mention the article that I read in one book where a woman in America was asked, if the Almighty restores your vision for 1 second, what would you love to see? Just a minute, nothing else. And she said, I would love to see the smile of a child. Just give me a child, let me see his smile, and then you can take my vision again. And Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Abd Rabbihi, whose narration comes in Babul Adhan. And I read the entire narration in Tanzimul Ashtad, the Sharah of Mishkat. When the Nabi of Allah passed away, he made dua to Allah. Oh Allah, I used to enjoy looking at your Nabi. Sayyidina Miqdad ibn Aswad was sitting and someone passed by. And he said, oh Miqdad, can I look at the eyes that looked at Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam daily? Tuba lihatayn al allati ra'ata. And he said, I just sat and I marveled at the gaze and the eyes and the vision that could see the eyes of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Abd Rabbihi, when the Nabi of Allah passed away, he said, Allah, I used to love going to sit and look at Nabi Alayhi Salam. Now he's gone. Allah, what am I going to do with these eyes? This is my request. Seize my vision. It's an authentic narration. Seize my vision. And each sahabi was amazing. فَكُفَّ بَصَرُهُ, his vision was seized. And then you had another sahabi, Ma'an radiallahu anhu. He used to say, oh Allah, none of my companions want to live beyond Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam because it's too daunting to imagine life post the demise of Nabi alayhi salam. But I'm asking you, Allah, let me live beyond Nabi alayhi salam and let me go through those challenging times and inspire me to persevere. لِأُصَدِّقَهُ مَيِّتًا كَمَا صَدَّقْتُهُ حَيًّا, so that I can live his message as I did when he was alive. I can deliver on it even after his demise, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when a person's eyesight is taken away, and then Allah asked the malaika, what did my servant say? He said, oh Allah, he praised you. And Allah refers to eyes as habibatay, the two beloved things to a person. And Allah Ta'ala says, then build for him a palace in Jannah. So on every perseverance, I mean, we go through so much in our lives, my brothers. I'm at a revert. And he always speaks to me and he asks me some verses of the Quran. And in his simple pronunciation, he said, what an amazing verse of the Quran. So I said, of course, every verse is amazing. Which verse are you saying? He says, وَمَا كُنَّا عَنِ الْخَلْقِ غَافِلِينَ. I said, sorry, brother. وَمَا كُنَّا عَنِ الْخَلْقِ غَافِلِينَ. I said, okay, probably you just want to, you know, read it again slowly for me. وَمَا كُنَّا عَنِ الْخَلْقِ غَافِلِينَ. He says, this verse, I cannot get over it. Revert. I share something about this person because he was an atheist before. He says, what is the most dull moment in the life of an atheist? What is the most shallow moment in the life of an atheist? I said, tell it to me, my brother. He said, I've walked that dark road. The most dull moment in the life of an atheist is, after owning everything, you got nobody to thank. When things work out in your life, it's your human nature, you scream Allah. You don't say Allah, you scream Allah. You walk in the house, you jump in Allah. You feel in Allah. You speak in Allah. You display in Allah. And in our deen, we have sajdatul shukr, where you just fall in prostration immediately. Apart from offering 2 units of prayer, you just drop in prostration. When Ka'b radiallahu anhu's tawbah was accepted, in Medina I went to it, Mount Salah. It's just outside Medina. And I consciously went there because of this narration, to tie up the narration with the location. And he said, I performed my Fajr Salah on the rooftop. Hatta kamula lana khamsuna yawma. 50 nights of social boycott that were imposed on us had lapsed. And I will never forget the morning of that 50th day. I got up and I heard a cry, a call. I heard an announcer announce, Abshir ya Ka'b bi khayri yawmin marra alayka mundhu waladatka ummuk. Ka'b, today is the greatest day. You never had a day like this, and you're never going to have a day like this ever again. And I realized my tawbah is accepted, and I fell down in sajda, and nobody will understand the pleasure I had in that sajda. I fell down in sajda. Khararrtu sajida. What is the most dull moment in the life? I swear by Allah, my brother, speak to Allah. Sometimes just lift your hands, let your tears trickle and let your heart talk. You don't have to verbalize it. يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى. Opening verses of Surah Taha. Allah says, He knows your secret and He also knows something more hidden than a secret. You might ask, أَخْفَى means more concealed. What can be more hidden than a secret? And the scholars say is when you sit in and you daydream in, and you're having 1,000 thoughts and emotions crossing your heart and your mind simultaneously. And if somebody taps you or nudges you and tells you, brother, what were you saying? You will have difficulty in recollecting your own pattern of thoughts. Allah says, I'm listening to that also. You say, Ya Allah, I'm going through this emotion in my marriage. Allah, I'm going through this challenge with my children. Allah, I'm going through this with my finance. Allah, I'm going through this with my in-laws. Allah, I'm having this in... Allah, I'm going through so much, my Allah. Allah, wa ma kunna anil khalqi ghafilin. And we are not heedless, we are not oblivious, we are not unmindful. We know exactly by the precise moment what's happening. He came back, he says, I just cannot get over with this ayah. وَمَا كُنَّا عَنِ الْخَلْقِ. Sometimes when you see the tyranny of the tyrants, and you see the oppression of the dictators, and you see the aggression of the butchers, and you see the oppression of the dogmatic rulers, you're like, what's happening in the world? And Allah says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Don't for a split second entertain that Allah doesn't know what the oppressors are doing. Okay, then Allah, why are you leaving them? Allah answers the next thing. إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ لِيَوْمٍ تَشْخَصُ فِيهِ الْأَبْصَارِ. I'm extending the rope to tighten the grip for the day when the gazers will be dazzled. When the gazers... وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ. This ayah gives me a shiver in my back. إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا. Those who live a life of sin, yet continue to enjoy perpetual prosperity, growth, health, advancement, they must never think we're favoring them. We're only making the means more available so they can go deeper in sin and we can punish more hard. I'm giving you a translation. I'm giving you a translation, my brother. Read it. I'm not even adding. Wala. And they should. يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا think. أَنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ. That we're giving them grace. خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ. خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ. فَذَرُهُمْ فِي غَمْرَتِهِمْ حَتَّى حِينَ. Leave them. غَمْرَ in Arabic literally means deep waters. Literally. غَمْرَ. Leave them in their wrong and their evil. أَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّمَا نُمِدُّهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ مَالٍ وَبَنِينَ نُسَارِعُ لَهُمْ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ بَلْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ بَلْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. They think we're giving them money and health and wealth, we're happy with them. They have no clue. They have no clue. Anyway, coming back to what we said, everybody looking at Yusuf, what's the secret? Two things. He went through all these challenges, he persevered. In each challenge of life, we find our Creator, my brother. We find our Creator. That is why I often say, every man will enter Jannah through the mercy of Allah. But every dweller of Jannah will have a different quality which will attract Allah's mercy. Whoever will end up in Jannah will be through the mercy of Allah. But every Jannati, something different of his will impress Allah. And we don't know. At-tahbir fi tadhkir. I read the reference of this kitab. A person appeared before Allah. In that this incident is mentioned. A person appeared before Allah. And then his book of deeds were presented. And he realized that things are bad and he's doomed for hell. And he realized that, you know what, now it's crunch time and there's nothing much he can do. And just then a bag was dropped on his scale of good deeds. And this gave weight and strength. And he's all excited about this. So his curiosity gets into him, he opens the bag, he's even more surprised, there's sand in it, there's dust in it. So he inquires from the malaika, what is this? He said, this is a handful of sand you had hurled into the grave of your Muslim brother when burying him. Allah was impressed by this action. Allah was impressed by this action. Anyway, Sayyidina Yusuf goes through this, and then comes the time of challenge. Can you imagine, you've been through so much in your life with challenges, separation, well, then you're made into a slave, then you're living in somebody else's house, then you're in a foreign country, then you're contending with all this. And just when you think it's time to now be over, yeah, it strikes again. And here comes another test altogether of a different magnitude. And what is it? He's young, he's evolved, in his prime, he's in his beauty, he's a young man, he's a human after all. A Nabi is not exempted from human emotions. A Nabi is divinely protected from sin. But a Nabi is not exempted. And this is the wisdom of Allah. So a Nabi feels sad. A Nabi feels angry. A Nabi feels hurt. A Nabi goes through common human emotions. A Nabi gets excited to see goodness in his family. Gets sad. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam cried. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam cried. When did he cry? When his son Ibrahim radiallahu anhu passed away. And that was born to him from Maria Qibtiyya radiyallahu anha. basic Islamic history, my brother. Nabi alayhi salam had 7 children. 6 were born to him from Khadija radiallahu anha. Khadija marries Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam at the age of 40. She was widowed once before this or twice. 2 opinions to this year. We need to know she's one of the greatest women that ever put foot on this earth. Widowed once or twice, Abu Hala, her former husband. She then gets married to Nabi alayhi salam at the age of 40. Look at the strength, the fertility of women at that time. At the age of 40, she gets married to Nabi alayhi salam. She's in the wedlock of Nabi alayhi salam 25 years. The only woman from all the spouses of Nabi alayhi salam that enjoy exclusiveness with Nabi alayhi salam. No other wife. And the longest period, 25 years. In that 25 years, she bears Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam 6 children. She bears Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam 6 children. 4 daughters, 2 sons. Tahir and Qasim both pass away in their infancy. The daughters, the eldest being Zainab. Zainab was wedded to Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi. Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi was the nephew of Khadija radiallahu anha. Basic Islamic history. I was giving a talk the other day and I broke down and I started crying. I said, my brothers, we don't know the life of Nabi alayhi salam. We sit on our phones for hours and hours. We can peruse, we can chat, we can open this file, close that file, open this clip, close that clip. Open a book of seerah and study the rich and impeccable, flawless legacy of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Zainab radiallahu anha was married to Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi, the nephew of Khadija radiallahu anha, and that marriage was proposed by Khadija radiallahu anha. Wa kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam la yukhalifuha. And then we had Ruqayya and Umm Kulthum, respectively wedded to Sayyidina Uthman. And when both of them passed away, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Uthman, you're such a son-in-law. If I had 11 daughters, I wouldn't have twitched my eye. I would have given one after the other to you. Today you give your first one and you say, bull take. And then, of course, the queen, Fatima radiallahu anha. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, Allah gave me a lot, and I'm grateful to everything Allah gave me. But for 3 things, Ali, I will be green with envy for you. There's 3 things, Ali, my hat off for you. Number one, on the battle of Khaybar, when Nabi Sassam said, لَأُعْتِيَنَّ الرَّايَةَ رَجُلًا غَدًا يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Tomorrow I'm going to give the banner to a man. Because the first day they fought, there was no victory. Second day they fought, there was no victory. Nabi Sassam said, give me the banner. Tomorrow I'm going to give the banner to someone who loves Allah and his Nabi. And that's not all. Allah and his Nabi love him just so much. And Sahaba said, that night we couldn't sleep. Who's getting this honor? Who's getting this? I remember when I was a kid, when we were going for excursion, I couldn't sleep. You know, just that excitement and that grips your heart, what you're going to do, where you're going to go, and all that excitement. One simple, small excursion in the world. The excitement that tomorrow the man who will receive the banner. And in the end, the banner was given to Sayyidina Ali. And Sayyidina Umar said, I love you and I honor you for this, O Ali. And then he enjoyed proximity to the masjid and access to the masjid and close location to the masjid, which only he accepted. And the third thing, and that was the greatest of the all three, and that is that Allah had blessed him by marrying Fatima radiallahu anha. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said nothing. And Abu Bakr came back and he said, oh Umar, I tried. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said nothing. Why don't you go? And then I went, and I modestly came and I said, O Nabi of Allah, can I have the honor of getting married to your daughter? And read the narration, I don't want to go into all the details. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said nothing, and I stepped aside. And then we spoke to Abdurrahman ibn Auf, and we said, listen, Abdurrahman, it doesn't happen for me, maybe it can work for you. We are like, I can't get it, nobody else must get it. If I can't get it, why must anybody else get it? And then we spoke to Abdurrahman ibn Auf, and he went forward, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was just bashful and modest, and he said nothing. And then Sayyidina Ali went, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I've been waiting for you, Ali. I've been waiting for you. My Fatima wasn't going anywhere else. My Fatima wasn't going anywhere else. And when Sayyidina Ali, the narration is very long, I don't want to go into all the details. Anyway, coming back to the point that I was saying, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam was now tempted with a challenge, with a fitna. He went through all these challenges and all these difficulties. And what were those difficulties? He persevered one after the other. And now he's evolved and he's this young, handsome, beautiful man. And the Quran draws the complexity of the challenge. What was the greatness of Sayyidina Yusuf? What was the formula, my brother? Two things. Sabr. Life is just going to throw challenges at us all the time. How do we conduct ourselves? We're just going to hang on and move on. Hang on and move on. Take the next day and move on. One ends, the next one starts. And that's the hadith Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said before Qiyamah. A fitna will come, it will grip you. And it will toll on you. And you will say, Hadhihi muhlikati, this is consuming me. I'm aging by the second. I've never been through this. And just when you will receive deliverance from it, and you will sigh with relief, you will be gripped by something more intense than the former one. And it will carry on till you meet your Creator. We're going through times, my brothers, we're hearing of people becoming apostates. People psychologically abandoning their faith. May Allah protect us. Really, really daunting times. I mentioned last week in my talk, I was in the Caribbean. A brother asked me, please, I want you to meet someone. So I said, okay, we'll meet him. Time moves on, the conference, back, hotel, invites. It's not happening. Again, he's on my case. He's just like, please, you need to meet this man. Okay, I'll try and see how it can happen. It's just not happening. So finally, I asked the brother, what's the passion to meet him? He said, Sheikh, I'm a revert. This man brought me into Islam. And tragically, he's left Islam. The man who introduced me to Islam, unfortunately, has left the fold of Islam himself. The man who introduced me to the light has lost the light himself. You know, Hakim al-Umma, rahimahullah, used to say, if you want to become a scholar, you can go to so-and-so. If you want to become a disciple, you can go to so-and-so. But if you want to become a human, come to me. I read a beautiful saying the other day. They say there's a big difference between human being and being human. There's a big difference between human being and being a human. Are we humans? The manner in which we live. Anyway, coming back to the point. Sayyidina Yusuf is in the palace of this woman. And she's been very kind to him. And when she's been kind, there is a moral and ethical obligation because the woman's been kind. And the Quran highlights the complexity. رَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَن نَفْسِهِ وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. She comes seducing Yusuf. She comes to solicit a favor. She makes a lustful advancement. Now, it's challenging enough for any woman to fall on a woman, on a man. There was a friend of mine in Australia. He makes me laugh. He says, you know, Allah has given me the strength. Inshallah, I will never be forward. But if somebody comes to me, Allah knows best. Make dua. We don't ask for that, but hey, Allah knows best. Allah knows best. He said, like that, I restrain myself. I will never be forward. But if advancements are made to me, I cannot guarantee anything. I cannot guarantee anything. Probably after the advent of social media, there is no sin that has spiraled like how zina has spiraled. With the advent of social media, and we are a nation blessed and cursed with our innovation. Simultaneously, it's a blessing, a boon, and it is a liability and a calamity. Because at the same time, we forward in a good message, and at the same time, haram is taking place. So the Quran says, وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا. She seduced him in whose house he lived, which only shows you the complexity of the whole thing. It's like, she's been good to me. I want to reciprocate her favor, but she's now abusing it. Now, Ibn al-Jawzi has written, and I'm just highlighting, what was the success of Yusuf? His brothers wanted to extinguish his life, and they wanted to drop him. I told you what was the secret of Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam? Honesty, and don't involve yourself in things that don't concern you. What was the secret of the great giant Imam Abu Hanifa? Don't be proud to share what Allah has given you, and don't be shy to learn from what Allah has given others. You can learn from a kid, my brother. You can learn from anyone. But have the approach of learning. You'll learn from anyone. You'll profit from anyone. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, Ibn al-Jawzi, quickly, just to show his challenges, to make it more challenging, number one, the time that this fitna came on him, he was young. He wasn't old and aged. You know, some are old but not cold. He was young. He was active. He was in his prime, number one. Number two, he was unmarried. It exacerbates it. Number three, he was in a foreign land. A lot of people at home are quite disciplined, but once they board the flight, they just relax the garb. They relax restrictions. We're in safar, brother. We're in safar. You must take it easy. Now everything goes easy. I'm amazed. I've seen so many people particular of prayer, particular of halal, conscious of things. But once they board the flight, all goes. All goes. We don't become judgmental on any person, but it just becomes relaxed. It just becomes, surely we have legislated concession. There's no doubt about it. I must qualify my statement. Our deen is pragmatic. Our faith is user-friendly. Allah has given us different options. Allah hasn't made faith complex. Allah has made it simple and user. But we need to govern ourselves by the limitations of deen. And we opt within the parameters of the legislated concessions. It works within those parameters. And we got to stay within that. تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا. So Sayyidina Yusuf was in a foreign land. And when you're in a foreign land, you are a bit more susceptible. You are a bit more vulnerable. Because you're in a foreign land. Then the woman that had invited him wasn't a regular woman. Wasn't a casual woman. Wasn't a common woman. It's the minister's wife. وَالْمَرْأَةُ ذَاتُ مَنْصَبٍ وَجَمَالٍ. She was a woman of stature. She was a woman of wealth. She was a woman of beauty. You've been through all the sabr in your life. You've been through all these challenges in your life. You're sitting right on top. And just when you think probably it's over, yes, such a daunting challenge falls in your lap. And then Allah has given him this amazing beauty. And subhanallah, it can only be a Nabi that can restrain himself to such an extent. قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايَ. The Quran explains it. You know, this is a bit of like a business class seat, so I'm quite comfortable. I hope you guys are comfortable. I don't know. Allah uses two expressions. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا. Allah says, this woman came with her dedicated agenda. She wasn't going to take a no for an answer. If you know Arabic grammar, وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ. She passionately wanted him. She passionately wanted him. Huh? As the Quran said, وَقَالَ نِسْوَةٌ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ امْرَأَةُ الْعَزِيزِ امْرَأَةُ الْعَزِيزِ تُرَاوِدُ فَتَاهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ قَدْ شَغَفَهَا حُبَّا اي قَدْ دَخَلَ حُبُّهُ فِي شِغَافِ قَلْبِهَا. This woman is infatuated over Yusuf. She's head over heels. There was a youngster who one day came to me. 3 weeks before he was getting married. I have to get married and you got to perform my silent nikah. I can't wait for 3 weeks. I'm like, relax, brother. Relax. You know, the gentleman went to the gym. I was just browsing through my phone now and I seen it the other day. Oh, this afternoon. So he's in the gym. He says, are you the trainer? He says, yes. He says, you see, this is my fiance. I would like to impress her. Which machine should I use? He says, really, you want to know? Go outside, there's an ATM machine. You'd rather use that one. So now I want to impress him. And he says, leave all this, go outside, there's an ATM. You'd rather use that. Now in December, we're in Toronto. So making use of the amenities at the hotel. So it was quite an off-peak time. Like, you know, otherwise people's mind run in different directions. My wife was with me also, may I add. So anyway, we said, let's just go. We had a nice meal. And we said, let's just go there a little bit to the gym. Just was two of us. It wasn't peak time or anything. We don't really get to see these places. So I got on the treadmill, trying to burn a few calories. Not that I've really achieved anything. But anyway, I'm like, ya Allah. Maybe I'm in the dark. Or maybe that's what's happening. Or I'm not up to speed. So I don't know. But I'm sharing what I've seen. So this thing has a whole keypad. With whole YouTube. So like you're burning calories and your mind is running somewhere else. And I'm like, this is how the world has become. The world has become, I literally heard a youngster say, man, I need a phone. Why? I need to go to the toilet. What are you saying? No, I won't be able to defecate if I don't have a phone. No, man, you're not real, man. Exactly. You know what? I go through constipation if I don't have a gadget in my hand. This is something I heard myself. وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا. The Quran says she seduced. Now look at the beauty of the Quran. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِ. She had a dedicated agenda. Then Allah said, Yusuf also had a bit of an inclination. In basic Arabic, if the inclination and the passion of both were the same, then Allah would have said, وَلَقَدْ هَمَّا. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّا. They both mutually had passion for each other. But Allah made a distinct difference. Allah said she had a passionate intention. He had a gentle inclination, a gentle thought. And this is not a demerit. This is a feather in the cap of the Nabi. Why? The ulama said the thought that crossed the heart of Yusuf was totally human and natural, pretty much like how a fasting person would probably think of cold water while fasting. So you fasting, it's a hot day, water, the thought of water crosses your mind, then somebody comes and gives you water. No, I don't want it. No, but you were saying, yeah, I was saying, but how dare I drink? Doesn't mean if I was thinking of water, I'm going to drink it. I was just saying, you know what, it's a hot day and you think of water. And I often give this example to the youth in madrasa and they like it. And they always thank me and they say, Ustad, you know, you drop our hopes, but it's so real. I say to them, these youngsters, you have this fantasy and this excitement. I'm going to get married. And this is the naivety of youth, you know. Before you get married, we're going to work our marriage out properly. Myself and my wife are going to do everything with mutual mashwara. But we're not going to be fighting at all. It's like, so the old man didn't know how to do it. You got the edge over it. And I say the following to that. I said, it's no more than the excitement that grips you while you're fasting. Buy this. No, this I'll have after iftar. This before, straight when I break my fast, I'll have this. This I'll enjoy seri time. So you're shopping and you're going on the spree and you're enjoying yourself. But when you break the fast, probably munch one, two, half a glass of milk and you're done. And you're done, my brother. Hey, I'm getting married next week. Countdown. What happened? You're not married. No, I'm married. Okay. No, alhamdulillah, shukr. No, alhamdulillah, it's good. Alhamdulillah. What's it, my brother? Allah said, Hamma, he had the natural thought, right? And that's human. But, وَهَمَّ بِهَا لَوْلَا أَرَّأَ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّي. Immediately he said, مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ. May Allah protect. And he ran to the door. He bolted to the door. And the scholars write so beautifully, he ran to the door, she ran to the door. Both ran to a common door. But for Yusuf, that was the door to paradise. And for the minister's wife, that was the door to hell. Because Yusuf was running from zina, she was running towards zina. How the ulama write? Fi suratihi amalun wahid, wa fi batinihi mukhtalifun ayyama ikhtilafi. Apparently a common action, but internally worlds apart. Both dashing in a common direction to a common door. But one running from the act and the other running towards the act. So study the life of Yusuf alayhi salam, my brother, and you will realize. And you know what's the beauty? And this is mentioned in the tafasir. That when you forsake something which you love, which is sinful for the pleasure of Allah, then apart from the reward that Allah has promised, more than often Allah returns that forbidden thing to you in a halal form. More than often. Not always, depending on what nature and circumstances are. And there's an incident to this here. After the occasion of Hudaybiyah, before the conquest of Makkah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was planning an invasion on Makkah because of the treachery of the infidels of Makkah in breaking and committing a breach in the trust. So there was a document that was signed up which was called Hudaybiyah, and in that they were very stringent conditions that were imposed on the Muslims. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam obliged to all. He obliged to all. To the extent that when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wrote the document, this is an agreement between Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Kuffar of Makkah. They said, stop there and there. We don't accept you as a prophet. So please omit all your titles. You can call yourself Muhammad the son of Abdullah, and don't give yourself fancy titles, Muhammad the prophet of Allah. This was the arrogance, which the Quran said, إِذْ جَعَلَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْحَمِيَّةِ حَمِيَّةَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. In Bayan al-Quran, this Hamiyya has been referred to the same thing. No, don't come give us your fancy. You can write that if you saying you Muhammad, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we tear up the document. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba that delete it. Just delete my name, because they insisting that I must write Muhammad. Sahaba said, no, Nabi of Allah, we're not going to buy into this. We're not going to give into this. This is now pushing the boundaries too much. They're really pushing the limits too much. I mean, we're agreeing with them. They've denied us Umrah. We've agreed. Then we had the rumor of the assassination of Uthman. Okay, that was intercepted and that didn't happen. And many things that happened. And all this was then nipped into the bud. Right? Sayyidina Uthman was in Makkah. He was sent as an envoy. Basic courtesy and diplomatic ties is you don't harm an envoy, because then you break communication. And he was in Makkah. Rumors had it that Sayyidina Uthman was assassinated. And that's when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sat down beneath the tree. And the narration of Muslim Sharif, 1400 Sahaba sat down beneath that tree. Can you visualize momentarily the richness of that gathering? 1400 Sahaba. And each one came and put his hand in the blessed hand of Nabi Alayhi Salaam. And he said, we will fight tooth and nail to avenge the death of Uthman. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Antum khayru ahli al-ard. O my Sahaba, you are the best 1400 that inhabit the entire planet today. In the whole world, there's nobody as noble as you. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Indeed, Allah was pleased and happy with the believers when they pledged allegiance to you. فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah knew the sincerity of their hearts. فَأَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah allowed tranquility to descend. And then in Surah Muhammad, when Allah made reference to Nabi alayhi salam, Allah said, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the messenger of Allah. And the scholars say the reason why Allah referred to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in detail here is Allah was responding and retorting to the infidels that you didn't want to capture my Nabi's title in your document. Neither will you live, nor will your document remain. Immediately, I gave it full coverage in the Quran, which will remain forever. You know, people get excited. Hey, you must buy the newspaper. Yeah, you must see best pharmacy voted, best butchery voted, best this year. I just see article. I don't know. Just have a look at it. MashaAllah, you buy it, good, and the next day you're in the toilet and you can't find tissue, use that same one, the best pharmacy and the best excited one. That same one is going down there, the loo. That's the honor of this world, man. That's the honor of the world. That is how flimsy and how fickle the world is. That's how fickle it is. There's nothing stable to it. You hit a century, you're a hero. Next day you bowled out, you're a zero. That's it. There's nothing. Nobody, if you're a celebrity and you think that you're there on top, you're fooling yourself, you're fooling your fans. You're fooling yourself and you're fooling your fans. There's nothing to it. It's fickle. It's flimsy. It's not concrete. It's not established. You age, your days are over. Look at our pious scholars. When they age, Allah gives more people hidayat when they're old. People die at their feet when they're old more than when they were young. So Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam, absolute restraint, total taqwa. One incident I want to share with you, highlighting the same two qualities. What was the secret? If you have this, then this is the glory that Allah will give you. To drive and to impress and to elucidate and to expound on the same thing. That if we bring this to, my brother, the future ahead is great. We have to restrain ourselves. But that's the challenge. That is the time. That is the challenge. بے پردہ حسینوں سے ہوا تنگ زمانہ آنکھوں نے شروع کر دیا اب دل کو ستانا بے پردہ حسینوں سے ہوا تنگ زمانہ آنکھوں نے شروع کر دیا اب دل کو ستانا لیکن اگر آنکھوں کو تو ان سے نہ بچائے ممکن نہیں دل کا تیرے ان سے بچانا.
If you don't divert your gaze from the forbidden,
Don't even endeavor to divert your thoughts, because your thoughts are a victim of your gaze. So you cannot stray your gaze and restrain your fantasy. It doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen, because this is connected to each other. Once your gaze has roamed, automatically your heart will fantasize. Umm Salma radiyallahu anha, a great woman in the annals of Islamic history. Who was she? Her name was Hind, but she was better known as Umm Salma. Kunniyat bi Umm Salma, thumma ghalabat alayha al-kunniya. Her father was Jawadun min Ajwad al-Arab, a very famous and wealthy Arab man. He was so wealthy, hatta annahu yuqalu lahu Zadur Raqib. He was known as Zadur Raqib. Zadur Raqib was, if you travel in with him, you don't have to take travel expenses. You know he will take care of everyone. And there are others, if you travel in with, you must take Daba. You know? This guy, when he comes, he always forgets his wallet. Always when he comes, hey, man, you know what? I brought the wrong card, man. Hey, man, you okay, man? Yeah, we'll sort out. Wallahi, when you travel, you discover a lot of things. When you travel, you discover. And our fiqh, you know, when I was telling you our fiqh and our deen is user-friendly, read in the books of fiqh, the scholars say, and the fuqaha, the jurists have written this year, that if you travel in as a group, then you should not fast if the majority are not fasting. Even if it's Ramadan and it's a concession, because the Quran gives you concession, it's obviously better to fast in Ramadan. While you're traveling, it's permissible to stall your fast. وَإِن كُنْتُمْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَنْ يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. You know, I'm reminded of a joke. We boarded in Dubai and we're flying to Canada. It's a 14-hour flight. I realized the flight was too long, and after we land, it's still 7 hours, so I'm not going to observe the fast. I'll delay it. There was a brother, mashallah, he had courage, and he decided to fast. Anyway, good luck, mashallah. I didn't know he was fasting, but he observed the fast. After 8-10 hours, he comes to me, brother, but in Dubai, the sun has set already, isn't it? I said, brother, open up the shutter and the sun will stare you in your eyes. He said, but isn't there, we started already. I said, my friend, I know why I said what I did. It's not based on where you started. It's where you currently are. Anyway, the fuqaha have written that if you travel in as a group and the general people are not fasting, then, you know, in your group and you have a common kitty you share in, then ammatu ashabihi muftirin. If the general people are not fasting, then don't create, you know, don't upset the rhythm. Join the group, blend in with the group, so that meals are at the same time, you're not having seri and iftar and lunch and supper. In other words, it's better for you than to accommodate the group and not fast. And if everybody's individual, it's at your discretion. Furthermore, the fuqaha have also written that if a person is old, he's aged, he's frail, he's weak, he's senile, and he's choosing to fast, and he observes the fast, and in Ramadan, he forgets that he's fasting. And there's a young man who forgot that it's the first day of Ramadan, he started eating. You must stop the young man immediately and tell him, hey brother, you're fasting. Oh, jazakallah, jazakallah for reminding me, jazakallah. And the fuqaha have written, if it's an old and elderly man, and you know his age, and it's challenging for him, and he has dementia and loss of memory, and he starts eating, leave him to eat, and after he ate, tell him, Baji, you're fasting. The fuqaha have written this here. Because he, at that stage, he didn't know. So for him, it was permissible. So leave him within his concession because of his crisis. I'm saying, look at the practical nature of our deen. Look at the practical nature of our deen. Our deen is so amazing. The concessions provided are so amazing. When Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha was out with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a campaign, and then her pendant broke. The hadith is in Bukhari. And Aisha radiallahu anha said, I'm not going to move till I don't find it. You know, you jump in the car and the kids are there. Come quickly. And then everybody's in, but hello, the handbag is missing. And dare you scream. Dare you scream, otherwise you'll be looking for that handbag. And now you just wait. And then he's like, okay, I'll buy you a new handbag. And Aisha radiallahu anha said that she فقمت على التماسه. I started looking for it. And because I won't move, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam won't move. And because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam moved, the caravan, the group won't move. And now one pendant is costing the whole group, nobody moving. And now nobody is going to dare say anything to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So everybody comes to Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr, please, you got to speak to your daughter, radiallahu anha, please. You got to negotiate this. Yeah? I mean, fair enough, we appreciate she lost her pendant and we got to find this. But we need to move, we need to move. So Aisha, look at this. Then we want to read, you know what, this glossy magazines. And we want to read the stars and how beautiful and how amazing their life is. You look at the life of Sahaba, and Nabi alayhi salam was perfect, was natural. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, كانوا يتبادحون بالطيخ. I used to see, لقد رأيت أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. I used to see the companions of Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم having a casual moment, and they would hurl melon peels at each other. You know, when you're kids, you play pillow fighting. I used to see the Sahaba hurl melon peels. And Sayyidina Umar said, I fancy a man who at home can be a kid. He can be a child. He can hop around. And when it's crunch time, he instantly becomes a man, strong and resilient. And he goes out and he challenges the world. إِنِّي لَيُعْجِبُنِي أَن يَكُونَ الرَّجُلْ فِي بَيْتِهِ مِثْلَ الصَّبِي. Now we're the other way around. We're a man at home and we're a child outside. So coming back to the incident, we digressing and moving off track and too many things are coming in, and I want to, you know, focus on the point, but nonetheless, whatever Allah puts in the mind, I believe is also of reflection and introspection. So we were speaking of Umm Salma radiallahu anha. She's this amazing woman. Her father is Jawadun min Ajwad al-Arab. He is this very wealthy man who was known as Zadur Rakib. Zadur Rakib literally means provision for the traveler. Her husband, Abdullah ibn Abd al-Asad, Ahad al-Asharat al-Sabiqeen ila al-Islam, amongst the early people who accepted Islam. When Umm Salma radiallahu anha and her husband, Abdullah ibn Abd al-Asad, accept Islam, at that time the hostility of Mecca is really great. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then tells them to migrate to Abyssinia. And they migrate to Abyssinia. وَمَا إِنْ شَاءَ نَبْعُ إِسْلَامِ أُمِّ سَلْمَ وَزَوْجِهَا حَتَّى هَاجَتْ قُرَيْشٌ وَمَاجَتْ وَجَعَلَتْ تَصُبُّ عَلَيْهِمَا مِنْ نَكَالِهَا مَا يُزَلْزِلُ السُّمَّ الصِّلَابِ فَلَمْ يَضْعُفَ وَلَمْ يَهِنَا وَلَمْ يَتَرَدَّدَ. They both accept Islam, and great challenges upon them, not honeymoon, they have to migrate immediately after accepting Islam. So they migrate. I just mentioned that incident I was saying about that youngster. May Allah give us, you know, stability. Today, youth are so clumsy, so careless, so negligent. So the youngster comes to me and he says, I need you to perform the nikah quickly. So I said, brother, wait, just give us three weeks is not long, man. 3 weeks will pass. Anyway, finally, I kind of give him the time to wait. He waits. He gets married. And in 2 weeks thereafter, he comes back with a greater passion to divorce her than he had to marry her 3 weeks ago. The same youngster comes back to me with a greater, I have to divorce, no, I have to. This woman is, no, it's, I said, brother, think for yourself, sit down, man. This is not furniture, man. This is not an item you're buying and selling, man. This is not bartering. This is not exchanging. Understand, this is an honor of a person. This is the integrity of a person. The Hajjatul Wada, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you have made legal benefiting from your spouse through the word of Allah. Understand what it entails. Understand the challenges. But this is unfortunately the norm, and this is how it has become. May Allah protect us and preserve our marriages with afiyah. So Umm Salma and her husband, they go to Abyssinia. When they get there, news filters in Abyssinia that things in Mecca have settled. And you know what, now hostility has settled. So it's now conducive to come back. So they decide. فَكَانَتْ أُمُّ سَلْمَةَ وَزَوْجُهَا مِنْ طَلِيعَةِ الْعَائِدِينَ. They said, okay, if that's the case, they come back. It's not come back like hop on the next flight. Come back is traveling. It's a long journey. It's tedious. It's challenging. It's climate. It's hot. It's distant. Camelback. It's really, really challenging. Just today in Dars, I was telling the students, because we did about Mount, you know, the place where Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had received revelation, Mount Tur, Mount Sinai. Years ago, alhamdulillah, I had the opportunity to travel there, and we climbed the mountain on camelback to reach the zenith of the mountain, which local Bedouins told us is 3,000 odd steps. 3,000 odd steps climbing the mountain right to the top. On camelback, we climbed it for 3 hours to get to the right top to find the precise location, give or take, in where Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had conversed with Allah and he had received revelation. And obviously, we're not so, you know, used to riding camel, unfortunately. Unfortunately. And here you're traveling on camelback for days on. So they come back to Makkah. لكن سرعان ما اكتشف العائدون أنما نمع إليهم من أخبار كان مبالغا فيه وأن الوثبة التي وثبها المسلمون بعد إسلام حمزة وعمر قد قوبلت من قريش بهجمة أكبر فافتن المشركون في تعذيب المسلمين وترويعهم وأذاقوهم من بأسهم ما لا عهد لهم به من قبل عند ذلك أذن الرسول صلوات الله وسلامه عليه لأصحابه بالهجرة إلى المدينة. So they come back only to discover that there was a short stint in which there was a bit of, you know what, grace and respite and ease. And then the aggression intensified. Only to come back and say, we were there, it was more easy, and now we come back and it's got worse. And that's the time the hijrah to Medina started. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Umm Salma and her husband, you people can move to Medina as well. Remember, what were the two qualities that blessed Sayyidina Yusuf? What was the secret? Taqwa and sabr, taqwa and sabr, taqwa and sabr. And so here we have it, this couple is married, and immediately they have to contend and have to migrate to Abyssinia. They barely get there and they come back. Only to come here and realize you have to move on again. Sometimes you've got to change homes. And it's like, no, when you finally find a house, then I'll come back to the marriage. Till then, I'm not interested. I often say that by and large today, couples have a house, they just need to make a home. The old folks, when they got married, there was no house, no home, and they made both. Today, averagely, a house is found, all they ask is made a home. That also has become difficult. A house is found, just make a home. Make a home, that's it. You don't have to cook for your in-laws, cook for your partner. You don't have to support anyone else, support your partner. Live with muhabbat and understanding, that's it. You happy, we happy. We call it a day. So then they migrate. But Umm Salma radiallahu anha said, my migration wasn't a common migration. It wasn't an easy migration. You know, you get to the airport and then, oh, you have a hiccup. Probably, you know what, your ticket that you have was on the system and then it got deleted. Or there's one digit that didn't match your passport. And somebody can get finicky and it can get under your skin. So the surname is there, but there's one digit added on. And now it's you know, contacting this one or contacting that one. Or probably you're supposed to have a book in there and you have a coupon and the coupon is missing or something of that nature. And it causes really, you know, great stress and problems. She says, we leave in Makkah, we're on the outskirts of Makkah, myself, my husband and my lad, my son. My husband put my son on the camel. And I'm mounted and my husband is holding on the reins. And we're just about to leave Makkah. Ra'ana, we were spotted by my tribe, the tribe that I belong to, Banu al-Asad. So they come to my husband and they say, In kunta ghalabtana ala nafsik, fama balu imra'atika hadhihi, wa hiya bintuna. Listen, you can go where you want to, but your wife, she's a girl of our tribe. That's our girl, that's our daughter. You're not going to take our daughter with. You're not going to take our daughter with. وَانْتَزَعُونِي مِنْهُ إِنْتِزَاعًا. And my tribe wouldn't reason, they wouldn't apply logic, they would argue with my husband, and they literally separated me, physically separated me from my husband. My husband negotiated, but to no avail. Sabr, sabr, taqwa, sabr, taqwa. See what Allah gives her in the end, beyond comprehension. Beyond my mind, beyond your mind. Zawji ittajaha ila al-Madina firaran bidini. My husband had to take a decision at that time. A friend of mine was flying back and he hopped onto the flight from Malaysia and he's telling me when he boarded, then the entire family boarded and then his youngest child got sick and the airline, by aviation rules, wouldn't fly the sick child. So he says, while the flight is boarded now, at the last moment, we had to disembark, myself and my wife, and my other three kids were boarded and they had to go ahead. Now these are challenging situations. I was flying from London and coming back. A child walking into the flight fell and got hurt. And the child was injured. And because of that, the child couldn't travel. And security reasons, the baggage has to be taken out. And blah, blah, blah. It's another 2 hours on the tarmac. But this wasn't all those complications. I'm on my camel. My family comes, they insist, they separate me from my husband. My husband had to make a choice for the preservation of his deen, and he moves on. He takes the camel and off he goes. If that was bad, that we separated, just then my husband's tribe come. And my husband's tribe starts arguing with my tribe, and they say, listen, that's your daughter, but that boy is us. That's our blood. That boy belongs to us. That is our tribe. So you can have your daughter and you can keep her. And she says, thumma, thereafter, they start pulling my son, my tribe and my husband's tribe, physically in front of my eyes. Hatta khala'u yadahu, they dislocate and dislodge his arm. And I'm like, okay, whoever wants to keep the child, keep the child, but please don't hurt my child. But to no avail. What happened to Sayyidina Musa, Sayyidina Yusuf? I'm driving and drumming one thing. Sabar, taqwa, sabar, taqwa. Sabar. May Allah give it to me, my brother. I don't have it. I don't have it. My family is here. My spouse is here. My kids are here. I'm no better than you. I'm no better than you. I say what I say, that Allah grant it to me and to you. Hakim al-Ummah used to say, one of the avenues of bringing discipline into yourself is to address your own weaknesses in your talk so that it creates a guilt within you and you start implementing what you advocate. So I say what I say so that I can feel guilty of my own self. So they literally dislodge his arm, and my husband's tribe, they take my son away. And she says, وَفِي لَحْظَاتٍ وَجَدْتُ نَفْسِي مُمَزَّقَةَ الشَّمْلِ وَحِيدَةً فَرِيدًا. It was a matter of minutes and my whole world turned around. An hour ago, in simple language, myself, my husband and my child, in a common direction, leaving Makkah and moving towards Medina. And minutes thereafter, my husband alone on his journey to Medina, my son with a dislocated arm sitting at a different tribe, and I am kept in custody by my tribe. بَقِيتُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ السَّنَةِ. A one long year passed like this. Every day I cried to Allah. Ya Allah, you change my destiny. Ya Allah, you change my destiny. Ya Allah, you make an opening for me. One long year went like this. One day I was sitting outside and crying like this. Some people passed by and they pitied my condition. They pitied. Then they spoke to my tribe and they said, please release this woman. Release this woman. They then negotiated with my husband's tribe. وَاسْتَعْطَفُوهُمْ وَاسْتَعْطَفُوهُمْ. Give this woman her child. And finally my child was reunited. Can you imagine that moment when that mom must have hugged that child? When that mom must have hugged that child, what an emotional moment it was. I embraced my child. This was Ummah Salma, who had no clue of what Allah was going to reward her sabr with. She was not going to become, there's no word to describe her honor. Celebrity is too cheap. It's too low. It's too simple. It's too basic. I hugged my child. I hopped onto a conveyance and off I left. But look at the cleanliness of that time. Look at the purity of that environment. Look at the fabric of that society. وَمَا إِن بَلَغْتُ التَّنْعِيمِ. I got to Tan'im just outside Makkah, 3 kilometers. حَتَّى لَقِيتُ عُثْمَانَ بْنَ طَلْحَةَ. And I met Uthman ibn Talha. And Uthman ibn Talha at that time was not a Muslim. The Shaybah, from the Shaybah family. And he said, Ila ayna bint Zad al-Rakib? Aren't you the daughter of Zad al-Rakib? The generous man? I'm like, yes. And where are you off to? I'm going to Medina. And why? To reunite with my husband. And ma ma'aki ahad? Are you traveling alone? Yes, ma ma'aki ahad illallah. Thumma bunayya hadha. I've got nobody. And why wouldn't you wait till you meet someone and travel together? Because these are the crises that led to my prolonged stay here. What did Uthman ibn Talha say? Wallahi la atrukuki hatta tablughi al-Madina. By Allah, I cannot imagine a female traveling alone all the way from Makkah to Medina on camel back with her child, and there's nobody to aid her, escort her. I'm going to accompany you from here to Medina. But then comes another challenge. Now this is a strange man and a strange woman. But the crisis of the moment is there's nobody else available. There's nobody else available. But what does Umm Salma radiallahu anha say? Wallahi ma laqitu rajulan min al-arabi qattu akrama wala ashrafa minhu. By Allah, I have never seen a more pious, noble, and modest man than Uthman ibn Talha. I swear by Allah, for the days and the weeks that we traveled from Mecca to Medina, the man didn't glance at me once. So then how did you stop and resume and sleep? Kunna idha balagna manzilam min al manazil. Whenever it was time to halt, anakha ba'iri, he will set the camel down. Thumma yasta'khiru anni. Then he would move aside. فَإِذَا نَزَلْتُ عَنْ ظَهْرِهِ. Then I would dismount and take my child off. Then he would take the camel away to a tree, tie it up, allow it to graze and take care of his own food. I would take care of my food. When it would be time to graze, when it would be time to resume, he would come back, sit the camel down, and then I would hop on, he would move aside, and then again when it's time to resume, he would take the reins and carry on. This continued for weeks on end without the man making contact to me once. Hatta idha balagna al-Madina, when we got to Medina, he wasn't waiting for an acknowledgement. I mean, you know, today, how many a prime minister can commit and perpetrate how many crimes and offenses, and then you're part of some welfare work, and then it gets full coverage. And full media. And it's, wow, you know what? Welfare work, the humanitarian angle of the prime minister, the government's help in hand, and just this, you know, to smoke screen. Hatta idha balagna al-Madina, when we got to Medina, he said, Zawjuki fi hadhihi al-qarya udkhuliha ala barakatillah. That, oh sister, your husband is in this locality, you can enter. How did Allah ultimately reward him and her? They went through a journey of sabr. His life was riddled with sabr, as I told you, just briefly. And then piety. And he restrained himself. Allah honored him that at that stage he was not a Muslim. And Allah blessed him with iman. And there can be no greater compensation for any virtue other than being blessed with iman. And there can be no greater punishment for any wrong other than being deprived of iman. Nobody can be punished more. I read in one kitab about protecting the gaze, right? Allah grant me the ability, Allah grant everyone the ability. And it's an amazing quotation. They say, عَدَمِ قَصْدِ نَزَرْ كَافِي نَهِي هَي قَصْدِ عَدَمِ نَزَرْ ضَرُورِي هَي. عَدَمِ قَصْدِ نَزَرْ كَافِي نَهِي هَي. It's academic, but it's amazing. It's insufficient to say, I didn't mean to look. You need to start meaning not to look. No, I didn't mean to look. I was just coming out. Once you come out in a place where shots are fired, you got to have your bulletproof vest on. You got to take cover. You can't come out casually in a place where, you know what, it's a war zone. You got to take cover. So I read an incident in this particular kitab of a person who says that I had this bad habit of roaming my gaze. And I didn't make much of it. But 30 years later, I realized the ill of it. I got up one morning and my whole Quran was gone from my chest. I was a hafiz of the Quran and I didn't make much of what I used to see and do. And 30 years later, one morning I got up and there was nothing left in my heart. And that's the time I realized there's no greater punishment for a wrong than deprivation of faith. And there's no greater reward for virtue than to be endowed with faith. And Ummu Salma, her sabr and her taqwa, what happened? When she then loses this very husband with whom she's reunited. She loses this husband. And she comes to Nabi alayhi salam, that, O Nabi of Allah, I've lost my husband. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, make the dua. Allahumma ajurni fi musibati wa khlufni khayran minha. Allah, you reward me in my difficulties and you give me a better replacement. And she says, I used to make dua for reward. And I used to say, better replacement? No, you're not going to get better than my husband. You're not going to get better than my husband. But I kept on reading the dua because that's what I was told. I must make the dua, and I made it. Till there was a knock on the door. And lo and behold, what was the knock and who was the knock? It was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam proposing to me. From being the wife of Abdullah, she became from being the mother of Abdullah, she became the mother of the entire ummah. What was the secret to your glory, O Ummu Salma? It was taqwa and sabr. The Quran says, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَذُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ مُحِيطٌ. And if you persevere and you have taqwa and you restrain yourself, the plotting of the enemies will not harm you in any way. In conclusion, I say to you, my brother, and I say to you, my sister, if we look at our life today, at every given moment, it's either a challenge which requires sabr, or it's a test and a temptation which requires taqwa. If we govern our life and we regulate our life by these two principles and values, perseverance at the time, and the real sabr is at the time of affliction. That is the real sabr. Because the ulama say something very amazing. Everything starts off great, and with the passage of time, or everything starts off small, with the passage of time, it becomes big. You know, you started off with a cough, and then it became a lung infection, and then it got worse, and it progressed, and it got worse. You know, there was a crack in the wall, and you neglected it, and then the entire wall caved in. Or there was a leak, and then the whole gutter fell. Or there was a problem in the car, and you neglected it, and then you know what, there was a whole issue with the engine. So it starts small and it becomes big. But difficulty is such that it starts big and with the passage of time it becomes small. So at the point of affliction, it's at its worst, at its greatest, at its most challenging time. But as time moves on, a person loses a beloved. He cannot imagine speaking. He's numb. His lips are sealed. And then there comes a time he can pass by that graveyard and say, yeah, my late brother's buried here. Yeah, I said, about 15 years ago. It was a tragic incident, yeah. But alhamdulillah, we moved on. That's the kind of strength Allah gives you. Not that he's forgotten his brother or he's forgotten his sibling, but that's life. That is life, and that is one of the ni'mats that Allah has given us, that Allah allows us to forget. If a woman has to visualize her labor pain for the rest of her life, the first would be the last child. The first would be the last child. But Allah makes it that she moves on, those wounds, you know, recover, and she moves on. And then again, Allah gives her the strength. So at the time of affliction, this is the time where the real sabr is required. And likewise, at the time of a fitna, when the fitna hits my brother, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi used to say, حدثنا هيثم قال حدثنا إسماعيل بن عياش عن عبد الرحمن بن عدي البهراني عن يزيد بن ميسرة أنه قال إن الله تعالى يقول أيها الشاب التارك شهوته لي المتبذل شبابه من أجلي أنت عندي كبعض ملائكتي. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal said, I heard from Haytham. And Haytham said, I heard from Ismail ibn Ayash. And Ismail ibn Ayash said, I heard from Abdurrahman ibn Adi. And Abdurrahman ibn Adi said, I heard from Yazid ibn Maysara. And Yazid ibn Maysara used to say that Allah says to a young man in his prime, with all his talent, all his abilities, all his gadgets, all his devices, just manage yourself, just look after yourself, just behave yourself. And with little actions on your side, and my malaika worshiping me perpetually, you and my malaika on one level. You and my malaika on one level. At the time of the Ashab al-Kahf, they didn't make Lord ibadat. What did they do? They only withdrew from the place of fitna and they came and slept. That's why I say to youth, it's a Saturday night. I'm not saying do too much. Come home and sleep. Come home and sleep. That's your ibadat. Break away from sin. وَإِمَّا يُنْسِيَنَّكَ الشَّيْطَانِ فَلَا تَقْعُدْ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَى. And if you ended up with wrong people and you got caught up and then you realize, hey, I'm sitting with bad company. The Quran says, as soon as you recall that these are not people you should be hanging out with, then walk away immediately. Walk away immediately. We find it difficult. Sayyidina Umar had sent a person to the Roman emperor, Musahiq ibn Rabi ibn Qais al-Kinani. So he was the envoy of Sayyidina Umar. He sits down on the throne. The Roman emperor receives him and puts him on a golden throne. So he sits down and doesn't make much of it. Part of the discussion, he realizes that the throne he's sitting on is made out of gold. Now, if we realize that something's wrong, I was eating and then I realized it's haram, but you know what? This is a corporate environment. And we were striking a deal. And there were prominent individuals and there were delegates and head of state. And the whole thing was being camera. So you know what? Courtesy, dignity, measure. You have to, you know, carry yourself with respect. So Musahiq ibn Rabi ibn Qais al-Kinani, he gets off the throne immediately. So the Roman emperor says, people die to sit on my throne and you get in off it. لِمَ نَزَلْتَ عَنْ هَذَا الَّذِي أَكْرَمْنَاكَ. You know, this is, we're honoring you, my friend. We're giving you an honor. We're elevating you. He said, no, my Nabi said, I mustn't sit on gold. You know, when a person, wealth hits his head, one person was giving a report. He says, we were out in the path of Allah, and a man told him about his own wealth. He said, before Hidayat, before I had guidance, I had wealth, and then the arrogance of wealth, I reached a point that I actually built a toilet out of gold. This is, you know what we say, the intoxication of wealth. One brother one day mentioned to me, he says he was out in Jamaat in Pakistan, so he met a man from America. So he said, I asked him, I said, what brings you here, man? You come in there where everything's happening and life is advanced. He said, exactly. They will teach you how to live. I've come here to learn how to die. I've come here to learn how to die. So he said, why you got off the throne? He said, because my Nabi said that we cannot sit on this here. And if my Nabi told me we cannot do it, we cannot do it. So, oh young man, restrain yourself. And what's the reward? For you, it will be the same like my malaika. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us true taqwa, true consciousness of Allah. Taqwa literally means we become conscious of Allah at every given moment. Remember, a camera can bring discipline so much. A monitor can bring discipline so much. A policeman can bring discipline so much. But the only thing that can reform a person in the privacy of his room, in the privacy of his house, in the privacy of his office, is that Allah is watching him. Because there's no blackout, systems are never down, Allah is watching all the time. And that's got to be going. I'm answerable to my Creator. And that has to come into our mind. May Allah grant us true taqwa and sabr. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst His pious servants. I pray, I beg, and I beseech Allah that let these moments turn out to be fruitful for us, Allah. Let us meet up in Jannah and say that on this day Allah pardoned us. Let us meet up in Jannah and say we sat there for those few hours, but it was meaningful. And let us introspect, my brother. Let us take it deep down. The points that hit our heart, let us internalize it. Let us imbibe it. Let us execute it now. Let us not delay with time. Procrastination is the thief of time.
Buy Islamic media, CDs, CD-ROMs, MP3s, and DVDs at SOKIslam.com. Secure online shopping available 24 hours a day. That's SOKIslam. SOUKISLAM.com